Kedai to get it on. Yasha Koach to Aaron and Sally for the beautiful Achnas Asarchim. Okay. I wanted to get that in too. Okay. Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, tonight is shiur number 4 on Chinuch Habanim. And tonight's shiur has the smallest amount of booklet material, but is probably the most important shiur of the 6 or 7 that we're going to do in Chinuch Habanim. I'm going to introduce you a term which I believe I've heard Mipi Hashmua a few times over. In other words, it's not, I didn't hear it directly from the Gadol B'Torah himself, but if I'm not mistaken, Rav Elchanan's son, Rav Elchanan Wasserman's son, Rav Simcha Wasserman, who actually did not have any children but devoted his life to teaching Klal Yisrael, he summarized Chinuch Habanim into 3 English words, and they are firm, fair, and friendly. It's an amazing summary, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And that is, number one, I'm going to add a little bit to the list that we have in front of us. Let's talk about firm first, and I'm going to add some things that are not written down in the cover page. I mentioned that power in the liberal world is sometimes looked at as a negative thing. You could argue, and obviously I'm not taking a stand now, this doesn't need to become a Democratic or a Republican debate, but one could argue that, Republicans have argued, that Barack Obama is almost embarrassed by American power. Whether they're right or wrong, one thing is clear to me, and that is that in the liberal establishment, the word power is a negative word. Why? Because civilization for 4,000 years used power to oppress people that didn't deserve to be oppressed. And we went through it in Mitzrayim. I have to repeat the joke from the Musar. I've got to share it with the women. Don't come to the Musar Shmos. So story goes that there was a woman who, in deep South Alabama, she was a real, real redneck. She still had a Confederate flag that was hanging from her house. And she, but you know, they're giving people. Some of them are really, really, you know, giving. They take care of their own. So she calls up. This is during World War II time. She calls up the base and she says, you know what, guys, soldiers do so much for us. I want to have 10 soldiers over for Thanksgiving, and I'm going to give them a good meal. They haven't had a good home cooked meal in a long time. And the sergeant says, wow, that's really, really thoughtful of you. There are some soldiers that could really, really use a break and so on. By the way, that applies here in Eretz Yisrael too. If you have a soldier over to give them a break, it's an amazing, amazing thing. Lahavdil, as we're going to see in a moment. She says, but one thing, no Jews. That's what she says. So the sergeant hangs up. Okay, hangs up. Comes Thanksgiving evening, ring at a doorbell. There are 10 soldiers there. 10 black soldiers. Her mouth drops. And she says, oh my goodness, that must be a mistake. So one of the black fellas speaks up, says, no ma'am, this ain't no mistake. Sergeant Greenberg, whatever he does, he knows exactly what he's doing. Is that great? So the point is, in history, there has been a part of us that has used power in an unhealthy way, and society still suffers from that. In remnants of it. But, you know, we spoke about last week that the first perception of all of God is apparent. And that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has invested us with power, and power could be a good thing if it's used not the way the Confederate flag uses power, but the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to use it. And therefore, that's why Rav Simcha Wasserman Zatzal said, firm is extremely important. When we say something as parents, if you're not sure if you're going to carry through what you're going to say, don't say it. Because the moment you say it, with a few exceptions, you got to keep to it. Because children look for firm consistency, and they're looking for our power. We're going to be ma'arich in the future that at the end of the day, a parent that isn't strong in creating rules and sticking to them creates the greatest insecurity for children. The irony of ironies is that our children want our power, and part of our love to them comes through our power. I have a Talmud from Shana Bet over here. One of the things that I tried to do in Shana Bet years ago is to make sure that the Talmidim feel love through strength and through assertiveness, that this is the way to do it, this is right, and this is wrong. Now the only way that it works is if the Talmidim feel that the Rebbe really cares about them. It's not because the Rebbe wants to exert their power over them, but because the Rebbe believes that this is what's the best for them. So firm, Rebbe Simcha Zatzal emphasizes something that's extremely, extremely important. Now, if we use our power based on incorrect information, then we're in trouble. This woman didn't take that into account when she was speaking on the phone to that sergeant. Sometimes the information is incorrect, and therefore we assert something that's incorrect. I'll never forget I think she's okay that I say this now. My oldest daughter startled me when she was about 8 years old. Dessert came out on Friday night, and she tastes it, and she turns to my wife, and she says it to her whisperingly. She whispers to her, and she says, "It's disgusting." I was so taken aback. How could you speak to your mother like that? It's disgusting. But I didn't say anything. Smartly, in that case, I made mistakes, don't worry. We as parents all make mistakes. I didn't say anything. And after the meal, I go over to my wife and daughter together, and I said, "Chayadina, you know, you don't speak to your mother that way." She said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You didn't, in dessert, you say that, you said to her it was disgusting." And at that moment, my wife and my daughter burst out laughing. So they say, "No," my daughter explains, "Abba, you don't understand. I made the dessert. Mommy didn't make the dessert. I was talking myself that I wasn't happy with dessert." It's very, very different when you say it. Now, obviously, then we have to coach her a little bit. And it's okay that you made dessert not exactly how you liked it, and maybe it's not disgusting, but doesn't taste as good as you would like. But it's a totally different ballgame. But what if I would have called her out on the spot? That would have been a total disaster. And by the way, we've had total disasters too, and that's okay also. We're not supposed to be perfect. But at the end of the day, if we're going to be firm and we're going to execute, we have to have our information right. Fear. Let's talk about being fair. Because sometimes we as parents aren't entirely fair because of what, remember we quoted last week from Dr. Mordechai Reich, sometimes parents bring their own stuff into parenting, and because they bring their own stuff into parenting, what they do is they put pressure on their children that they shouldn't be putting pressure on. Take a look at Rav Volbi Zatzal in his beautiful words on page Chaf Tes. He says, sometimes parents' stuff includes kina and kavod. And sometimes we have every single one of us needs to work on both kina and kavod. And we have to think about that in the context of our parenting. Take a look. Kina. Imani roa shayelet shal shachen. Ozer yoter li imani mekaneh. Sometimes I see that the neighbor's kid helps more. By the way, I've had kids that help more, and I've had kids that help less. And I have four fantastic, beautiful children. And just because they'll help less at a certain time doesn't mean that when they're 25 years old, they're not going to be tremendous balei chasadim. What does mean is that if I'm going to force it down their throat when they're 6 or 7, then the odds are they're not going to be balei chasadim when they're 25. So sometimes a parent has a kina. Wait a second, these kids are doing... I see that the neighbor's kid davens better, sits in shul the whole time. I see that my neighbor's kid, and I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. So we have to worry about that. That's our own stuff. Don't be embarrassed. You know why? We're going to talk about this the last year as well. A child is a beautiful pikadon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Our child is not even our own. That is one of the most important yisodas. That's the yisod that we're going to conclude with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a beautiful gift. It doesn't belong to us. It's not our cheftza. It's not our object. our nachas machine. Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us a beautiful pikadon that we're supposed to cultivate its kochos and its talents based on what the child's capabilities are. And therefore, it's not about me having the best kid. It's a lot easier to say. Sometimes it's harder to do. But that's something that's so important. The kinna starts because, wait a second, my neighbor's kid's gets better grades, helps more, sits better in shul, etc., etc., etc. And sometimes, and the culture, Baruch Hashem, we have left some of that culture, but sometimes even it's pathetic, is even a better ball player. You know that case, you know, where in the Little League, where these parents are pushing their kids in Little League, and it's so obvious that the kid just doesn't want to play, but how could it be that my kid not be a good ball player? How could it possibly be? That's kinna. Kavod. In boim alai mevakrim, ani rotzeh sheyelad sheyavo v'yagid lehem yafeh shalom v'yitnehe yafeh. Kedei shuuchal erchosh kavod me'yitnehagut shel hayelad sheli. People are going to say that my kid is so good. Whether it's a good ball player, whether it's good in learning. By the way, it's the same thing. It's the same shtuyot. Nachas v'chalila, that learning and ball playing is the same silliness. One is chaye olam, the other is not even chaye shah. Learning is the ultimate from our worldview. But at the end of the day, we're supposed to be cultivating the kochos of our children. Not that my child should be respected as being the best learner. Again, easier said than done, but it's so important. That's all part of our stuff. That sometimes that we end up superimposing on our children. I want to add to Revolbi's example. That's called fair. That's in the fair category. We have to be fair to our children, not be imposing our stuff on them. Imposing not only is imposing that they be the best, or that that to show them off as a trophy, but there's something else, and that is imposing my dreams on my children. You know, every once in a while you have someone, I've seen this, I've had Talmidim whose parents like this, that their parents are, Baruch Hashem, very wealthy, and the parents now... Oh, I've got a beautiful story. This is a very, very... Before Kabbalah Sattar, I got to share with you this beautiful story. Legend goes that during the war, some of the Jews that escaped went to England. And there was a Rosh Yeshiva whose name was Rav Schneider, who opened up a yeshiva for boys who were refugees. And there were two special boys in that yeshiva. One of the boys used to go, and every morning would go through the Blitz in London, and would make sure to bring some fresh food back to the yeshiva. And then there was another boy who used to wake up early and wake up all the boys for shacharis and to learn. At the end, after the war was over, Rav Schneider made a seudas prega. Each boy was going. Some boys were going to Israel, some to America. Some of them had parents, some of them didn't have parents after the war. And he said, I want to note these two special boys about what they did during the Blitz on London. And he says, the boy who went to get food, he should be zelcha to be able to be mefarnes, not just himself, but have so much money to be mefarnes, even more than just a yeshiva, but become wealthy. And the other boy, who was moser nefesh for other people's talmidim, for other talmidim and their Torah, should be a big talmid chacham that should teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. Legend has it that the first boy was Moshe Reichman, both names Moshe, and the other was Rav Moshe Sternbuch, who's now a big Talmud Chacham here in Yerushalayim. That's the legend. One time they reminded Moshe Reichman the story, and they said, do you remember when it happened? He said, yes, I remember. He says, but I have one regret. He said, I wish I was the one who had woke up the Talmidim, and that I wasn't the one who became so wealthy. I appreciate the wealth that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me, but I would have much rather spend my life teaching Torah. That's what the legend that Moshe Reichman said. Whether it's true or not, whether it was us poor Rabbeim who made up that story to make ourselves feel better, or however it might be, I think that story says a tremendous amount. But now what happens if Moshe Reichman decides, you know what, I've got all the money I need, but I want my son to be that Talmud Chacham that I didn't become? Rabosai, disaster. Disaster. Living our dreams through our children is extremely, extremely dangerous. Let's go to something else Revolbi writes in terms of fear. Revolbi writes on page Chavzayim. Shituf v'achrayut. Ani rotze laskir ikaron nosaf. I want to add something else important. Sheyachol liot leizer rav b'chinuch hayiladim. That could be very helpful. Choshev ma'od l'shatef yiladim b'avodatam shel horim. It's important to involve children. Involve children with their responsibilities at home. Involve the child. There's nothing wrong with Yom Tov. Erev Yom Tov today has been very hectic for my wife. My wife wrote out jobs for every single person in the family to do. The one who was the worst was me, who said, can I wait till after I finish all the shiurim and do it at midnight? But everybody else in the house has a job before Yom Tov. From the oldest to the youngest has a job. That's part of team playing. That's part of building a family. And it's part of giving confidence in children that they're able to accomplish and they'll be able to be a part of something. That's shituf b'achrayas. But Rabosai, there's another shituf that I think we don't think of. And that is, we also have demands. As parents, we say that these are things that we feel are really, really important that the children do. And we spoke about last week that when it's young, it's okay to give children rewards and punishments. But let's talk to our kids about them. Don't just give a reward. Say, what would you like? I know this is hard for you. It's hard for you to sit down and do your homework. What would you like as a reward? In other words, being fair and being firm doesn't necessarily mean we're always coming from on top and using that power. Power could be used in a fair way, and we get to expression number 3, and in a friendly way. And that's something that's very, very important. Now let's go to its extreme in terms of friendly. They say Reb Chaim Zatzal in Bristol was very, very down to earth. Reb Chaim himself had a very, very even childish side to him. Legend has it, Reb Chaim used to play with the kids. One time they say that the kids were sitting around and they were looking sad. They weren't playing. And Reb Chaim asked them what happened. He said, our ball got lost and we decided to play a game, horsey, that we were going to ride on each other, be a horse. So Reb Chaim said, what's the problem? He said, no one wants to be the horse. So Reb Chaim got down on his fours in a frock, and Reb Chaim said, I'll be the horse. Reb Chaim was big. Reb Chaim was big and strong. He said, I'll be the horse. So the legend has it, this part I believe, that part, up until here. Legend has it, the next part, I'm not sure. I think this already dramatized the story. But legend has it, is that about 20 minutes later, somebody came by, and Reb Chaim was tied to the tree. And the kids were gone. So said to him, Rav, what happened? He said, well, I was playing horse, and they tied me to the tree, and they left. That's what the legend goes. What's true about this is this idea of being friendly with children, even if you're the great Reb Chaim of Brisk. And Reb Chaim knew when to be makbid as well. And the last thing I meant to do was to be mezalzel in the demus of someone who is a light for me. Just today we were pounding away how to understand Reb Chaim's notebook in Volozhin. That's what we were working on in Shir today. So that don't mistake what we're doing over here. But the idea of being, if Reb Chaim was able to be child friendly, Kal v'chomer, we as parents need to be child friendly. I mentioned to you in the past, I think, in this series of Shiurim, I'm not sure if I haven't, it's important to say this now, repeat it if I did, and that is that with my older children, it was more natural for me. I was younger, so I played with them. Now, I'm only starting my house duties at 12 o'clock at night. So that means my youngest gets less playing time with me. It's just natural. I'm older. I have more life's responsibilities than I had when my kids were younger. But that means I work extra hard to sit down. I try to get on the floor to play with Shlomo Zalman, my youngest. Because this is something that's very, very important. There's no instance where a child shouldn't feel that their parents are also friendly. I'll sometimes give my children musa and I'll say, I'm not a friend. You don't speak to me like you speak to a friend. And I think there's place for that. But friendly, always, and with every relationship, with every child, that's something that's important. And part of that means to make the most of our time. And I'm giving myself musa based on what I just said before. There's a very, very powerful expression that someone said, and that is, I never met someone who regretted spending too little time at the office and too much time with their family. But I've met a lot of people who regret that they spent too much time at the office and not enough time with their family. That's part of being friendly also. In other words, it's not only about the chiyuvim, but it's enjoying life together, experiencing life together. And that's something that's so, so, so important in Simcha Wasserman's cloud of friendly. There is a very, very successful businessman here in Eretz Yisrael. I think he's one of the biggest philanthropists here in Israel, who I know his son. His son's a young Talmud Chacham who served in the army. They're, for lack of a better term, a Dati Lumi family. And he said to me that his father, I believe his father has a successful diamond business. And he said to me, we were talking about how he grew up and the priorities that somehow he still had a she'ifa to stay in Torah and so on and so forth. And he said to me, I want to tell you something that was so important in my chinuch. He said, my father used to have a lot of important business in Africa. He said, but no matter what was going on, he said, now things have changed a little. Now that all the kids are bigger. He said, but when we were young, no matter what, my father never missed a Shabbos at home. Never. By the way, us Rabbeim, we're not as good at that. I think for your wedding, I missed a Shabbos at home. I think for a few Talmidim, but it's something that's so important. Something that's so, so, so important to do, to keep in mind. That's a dugma. That's a tremendous model. We're talking about someone who I'm sure passed up $1 million deals so that he'd be able to be with his family. Because at the end of the day, what's really, really, really important? Where are the real diamonds? Keep learning an enjoyable experience. Keeping learning an enjoyable experience is something that's so, so, so important. And let's talk tachlis. You know, a lot of what we've been doing up until now has been ideals, which I think is really, really important. Let's talk tachlis. Some kids enjoy learning with their parents. Some kids don't. Some kids enjoy learning some things with their parents. Sometimes they don't. You know what? Find something your kids enjoy learning with you and outsource the rest. The tough stuff, hire a tutor. And again, we said that these are our diamonds. If there's anything that's worth investing in, is when your kid needs a tutor, you get the tutor. You find something else that you're not going to buy, but invest in that tutor, and don't try to do the tough stuff with your children. That's not to say that everything should be tutorized, for sure not. But at the end of the day, there's no question that keep learning, find something that you enjoy learning together, and the hard stuff let them do with somebody else. It's Yisod in Shalom Bayis, it's Yisod in Chinuch Habonim. I in friendly. And that is letter I, where we're up to on the list. And that is listening. One of the Yisodos in Shalom Bayis is, if it's important, something that's important that's on my wife's mind, then it's something that's important to me as well. If it's on your child's mind, it's important to them. One of the most important things they want to do is share their emotions with their parents. So, so, so important to be available for it and to be able to listen. I mentioned in Shalom Bayis, we make a big, big deal when we talk about this in Shalom Bayis. And I don't think we're going to go through the whole rigor of it. But let's just, one of my Talmidim from years ago reminded me, I didn't do it with the guys with Shalom Bayis this past year, reminded me I actually used to go through a whole session where we practice listening. I forgot that years ago I did that, where I had the guys listen to each other. It happened to be, it was really, really funny because one of the guys who was there, this is my first year probably that I gave Shalom Bayis and Gros Masna 5 years ago or so. So it happened to be that week, one guy's father and father-in-law were here in Gros for Shabbos. And I decided we were going to do that practice in listening, in talking to each other. So they had a great time, the two mechutanim, listening, practicing listening to each other is really, really, it's such an important mida. Incidentally, they said to me afterwards, they said, it's so interesting what you're doing with the chevra. So when we got married, when we had children, there was no such thing as shalom bayis classes, no such thing as parenting classes. You just did it. You learned on the job. It could have been, it worked 50 years ago. It doesn't work today. It doesn't work today. And I felt it. In my generation where we didn't have it, I felt like I needed it. I remember I walked into the Beis Medrash in New York, and I was looking around, and I was like, oh my goodness, my 2-year-old and my 3-year-olds are doing this. I have no idea what to do. And I looked at one of the rabbeim, I said, I wish like I could get hadracha from him. But it's like after mincha, and he's rushing out, and you know, I really felt like it was something that was missing. Listening is something that's so important. Maybe in previous generations they did it, maybe they didn't, but now it's something to really remind ourselves, to the point that we really, once upon a time, we went through, we would practice it together. Listening to our children and being able to show that we're listening is critical. I mentioned the Shalom Bayis, that Carl Rogers changed the world of psychotherapy by doing something that I find to this day is almost dumb. It's dumb, but it's brilliant. It's both. And that is, Rogers would has a client come in. This was so popular when I was in graduate school, when I was in Columbia, that this was the only therapy video that I had to watch, was Carl Rogers. I turned it off after a half hour. It was so boring. It was so boring. What Carl Rogers does, because I'm tight, is the client comes in, and he says, how are you doing? And the client says, well, I had a pretty bad day. So Rogers says, it sounds like it was a tough day. And basically what Rogers goes on to do for a half hour is he just repeats what the client is saying. And people on the Upper West Side are paying $1,000 an hour for people to do that. It's amazing. It's amazing. But it works. It's not my style of therapy. If I would be a therapist, I would tinker with it a little bit. But it works. You know why it works? Because most people don't feel listened to. And Carl Rogers was able to show people that they were being listened to. And that's what we used to practice. You don't have to be Carl Rogers to do it. You could do it in a gross classroom. It's very easy. You can even get Mechutanim to do it with each other. And just show each other that they're listening But you know what that requires? That requires a father to put down all of his other things and say, right now I'm going to get down on the floor and listen to my child, Basher Husham, and show him that I really hear him. And so many times, we as fathers, sometimes even our parents, didn't always do that. And Be'ezra Hashem, that's something that is a midah that's easy to do, if you set your mind to it. If you want to read more on it, almost every therapy book has this. One thing that in Shalom Bayis that's really, really helpful is, I think, what's referred to as the Omega form of communication, where if a wife feels that her husband hasn't, if they haven't been communicating that well together, is we switch off, my wife and I, two different nights. Tonight, for 15 minutes, I'm just going to listen to what you're saying, and I'm not going to say anything about my own feelings, but show you that I'm listening to your feelings. And tomorrow night, you're going to listen to my feelings, and we're going to talk for 15 minutes like that. And thereby, we practice beginning to listen to each other. I think that's something that's so critical. Oh, with that, we're ready to go to my favorite list as we conclude tonight. Let's take a look. We've given this out before. Rabbi Dr. Jeffrey Loeb's Father's Kabbalahs. And you will see that Rabbi Loeb's Father's Kabbalahs are full of firm, fair, and friendly. Skip down to number 5. Doesn't have numbers, but looking down to number 5. I will say sorry, I'm sorry when I'm wrong. That's fair. Part of fair is saying sorry when I'm wrong. Now, it's more than that, but it's also that. Showing that we're fair, that's an even playing field, that Abba makes mistakes, and that Ruvay makes mistakes. And that's okay. And when we make a mistake, we say we're sorry. That's fair. there's something deeper to that, and that is one of the greatest things that we could show to our children and our talmidim. If you'll notice, I do this together when we discuss as well, and that is that showing that we're human and we make mistakes, and that's okay. And our children will learn from us to themselves say, I'm sorry, to their spouses and so on. Someone told me they grew up in a family and they feel handicapped because in that family, the word I'm sorry wasn't used. People fixed what they did, but they didn't say the words I'm sorry, and they feel handicapped by that. I will not degrade you, laugh at you, ridicule you in any way. That's part of friendly. I'll find a way to show you that you are loved. I will say I love you more often. That's friendly. I will remember that you are a child. That's fair. It's fair for us to realize that our children will be children and will make childlike mistakes, and not to demand of them to do something that's more. Skipping down after the asterisks. I will smile more to you. I will smile more, period. That's an avira, a friendliness of warmth in a home. Skipping down a couple. I will respect you. I will respect your feelings, your need for space and privacy. I will respect your dignity. I will respect your opinions and your decisions. That's fair. It also creates a sense of friendliness. Third one from the bottom. I'll be less concerned with kibud avim and more concerned with kavod abrios. Sometimes we're very makbid on kibud avim. Kibud avim will come to parent to children who feel that their parents have been there for them, if we send them to right schools and we don't abandon them on the streets. But that is natural. Kibud avim will come naturally. I know I met somebody who said, you know what, kibud avim comes hard, is hard for me because I didn't see my parents do it to my grandparents. It's hard for me. If my mother didn't do it to my grandmother, so it's hard for me to do it to my own mother. So you know where kibud avim will come? They will see the way you're mechabed your parents. They'll be mechabed you. Don't worry. It's all the modeling that we spoke about before. That's all part of the zriya. That's where the kibud avim is going to come from. I'll be more loving to mommy and always respectful to her. I remember the look on your face when I've said something hurtful to her. When we ourselves embody that sense of fairness and friendliness to our spouses, then ultimately, then our children themselves will do it. I remember that no matter your age, you still look to me as I look to my father. And what is important is not so much the information I impart to you, but who I am to you. If we want our children to be friendly people, then if we're friendly to them, they will be friendly to others. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, I will laugh more. I will be on the lookout to laugh more with you. At times I will try to laugh at myself. By the way, that's hard for me. I'll be frank. My children feel, by nature, I'm a serious person. My humor comes out in shirum. But otherwise, you'll notice, those of you who talk to me, I don't make too many jokes when we're speaking one-on-one. That's just who I am. That's my personality. And that's a challenge for those of us who have serious personalities is to try to find a way to laugh more with our children. I'll play more with you. I'll give you your own time with me every day, even if only for a few minutes. Oh, those few minutes are so, so, so important. You know, here in Yerushalayim, they find a way with 10 kids. I just got an invitation from a cousin of mine who has 10 kids, who raised those 10 kids just today. I got on my desk. They raised those 10 kids in three-room home here in Yerushalayim. And somehow those people find more time sitting and learning in kolel. I'm not advocating that this is the way, the lifestyle, but sitting and learning in kolel, three sedarim. They find more time to be with the kids, the fathers with their kids, than those of us who have more money and seem to have more time, yet somehow, I'm talking about people who are actually learning in Kolo 3 Siddharm. By the way, there's a very unfair stereotype that sometimes is alleged on a whole tzibur about, oh, the Kolo, you know, they're wasting time. I have to add, because this is my last experience on this issue. I am diverging. I apologize, but I feel passionate about this. I'm going to do this for 2 minutes. I went to a Talmud who made a bris, had a lot of nachas, right near in Israel, here in Yerushalayim, the popular place to make a bris in the Haredi neighborhoods is Jeville, right next to, right outside of Meir Sharim. If you go, that's where all the brises and all the engagement parties, it seems, are. Anyhow, so I go to Jeville, and I participate in the bris, and then I was very, very lachutz what I was going to do in shir, so I decide not to go to yeshiva. This is a secret for Rabbeim. If you go into yeshiva, then the moment you walk in, then Tom's going to come over to you, he's going to need to talk. And then some Talmud, even I have a policy, I don't shmooze during morning Seder unless it's an emergency, but Talmud come over and ask me how to read the Rashi, and I'm working on how to read the Tosas, and it's only 2 hours before Shir. So I decide, you know what? For an hour, I'm going to prepare Shir in the first shul that I see, and I'm going to come to yeshiva relaxed, with Shir prepared, and then I'm going to be able to speak to Talmud. Tough! So I go to the first place that I walk. I walk towards Meir Sharm. I go into the first kolo that I see. I walk into a kolo. It's a kolo that has a picture of Chacham Avadia and his son. It was a very mixed kolo. Sfardik, Chasidim, everybody together. A real kol Torah. Not a single. I glance around quickly in the Beis Medrash. 9:35 in the morning. Not a single person schmoozing. Tov. I go into the back room. I asked a guy who's sitting in the office whether I could take a coffee. He says, sure. I sit in the back room around the coffee station, you know, where supposedly everybody sits and smokes and drinks coffee, etc., etc. I sat there for about 45 minutes. Not a single person, I didn't see a single person come out and schmooze. I walked back through the Beis Medrash. I didn't see anybody schmoozing. Is it fair to speak about a whole tzibur in that way? It's not fair. It's not right. This was my last experience. Are there other places that are not that way? Possibly. Maybe yes. But at the end of the day, to be mashmitz, a whole tzibur, who devoted their lives to learning Torah, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. Let's come back to where we were up to, now that I've diverged and gotten off what's on my chest, which I think is important to share with everybody. This family, whose invitation I received today, he spent time with every single one of his kids. How did he do it? When he came back from Mir Yeshiva at 8 o'clock at night, he didn't go into the house. You know what he did? He went to the shul right next door. And this is before cell phones. They had it down to a science. His wife would send down every boy. It was majority were boys. Send down every boy to spend time with their father 10 minutes in the Beis Medrash, one-on-one. Seven boys, 70 minutes. He only walked into the house at 9:15 at night. 10 minutes for every kid. And they talk out a lot of nachas from their children. 10 minutes a day. But that requires quite a bit of willpower. That means when you come at home after two siddurim a day, only to have the patience to sit with every single child and do whatever they want, whether it's to learn or to talk, whatever it might be. It's beautiful. I'm not saying our system doesn't have milas to it as well, that system doesn't have. But what I am saying is that that's something that requires a certain amount of willingness to put aside time for every child. I will learn more with you, and I'll try to make the time warm and joyous and not full of tension and anger. That's so big, not full of tension and anger. That's why we said outsourcing is so important. And finally, I will have more fun with you. And I'll remember that our shared laughter and love brings the Shechina. And I'll remember that I'm your Abba or your Tati. Beis Hashem, we should be able to do this with our children. It's firm, fair, and friendly. And thereby raise Dore Doros of Yisharim. We're now towards the segue. We're already segueing to the second half of the Shiurim. I think we've touched on many, many of the important things that I wanted to touch on. So I want your feedback from you if there's anything more, any more topics that you think we haven't touched on yet that are important. Should be a good Shabbos and a good Yom Tov.